A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is My Wardrobe Malfunction with a difference. Some of you may remember our first 8 episodes that began in January 2020. You can still hear them by going to our website at mywardmal.com. In each episode, I talk to a very special guest about their relationship with clothes and, of course, heard all about their ultimate wardrobe malfunction. In April 2020, when lockdown started, we continued our interviews over Zoom and posted them as videos on our website. The sound was sometimes a little bit dodgy, but many of you have asked if we can put them on our feed. So here they are, crackles and all. Apologies for any sound malfunctions, but we're working hard to improve things from now on. We're still doing our pajama party section where we hear from you. These jaw-dropping stories can be found on our website too. Please keep them coming by emailing help@mywardmal.com to tell us more. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review us and follow us at mywardmal on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Right, on to the first of our new episodes. Recorded at the beginning of April 2020, it's with award-winning food author, clothing connoisseur, and MasterChef Australia judge, Matt Preston. So let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. Matt Preston, I have to say, more than any of the MasterChef judges, for me, and I'm not just saying this, you are the most iconic.
Well, that's because I am the size of a small mountain.
And so it's because of the way you dress. Obviously because of the knowledge you have, but it's because of the way you dress. You add a flamboyance to a normally kind of surgically dressed kitchen.
Well, I think that's generally the... You go into a TV studio and you change in those great communal changing rooms where all the sports guys change and where all the news guys change. There'll be a row of ties.
Yeah.
All different colors, but there'll be pale blue white shirts, blue suit, blue blazer, khaki pants. And that's kind of the universal uniform. So it's nice to be able to have the freedom to kind of wear what I want to wear and have a play. I mean, Australia's got this amazing history, fashion history that people don't know about. Back in the 1880s, there's this whole culture of a thing called flash dressing. And so when the job came up, it was like, oh, goody, I can play in this kind of Australian Wild West space where they use lots of tartans and lots of tweeds and just kind of not take fashion too seriously.
Yeah.
And also there's a strange thing here with men, and men, Australian men have been always very conservative. That's changed dramatically in the last 12 years. But Australian men have always understood the joy of the comedy shirt. You know, the ridiculous...
Oh, my husband is half Australian and he is wedded to his comedy shirts.
And you'll see them at barbecues. All these men will turn up and all the wives are like, oh, he's wearing that shirt. And all the guys go, nice. Nice. So they've got teddy bears on it. Oh, Tabasco bottles. Excellent.
Hilarious.
So I think that's kind of, I mean, I like the idea that I may be lumbering through the undergrowth, blazing a trail for more stylishly dressed men to follow me.
But also, I think the way you dress is, I mean, like now, you love colour. You're wearing, where's that pink shirt from?
That pink shirt, I get all my shirts made by the last remaining shirt maker in Australia, company called Ganton. They're the last people to make shirts in Australia. So I just go to them. And this is, I mean, I love these colours. I think this goes, remember when Boateng used to make those beautiful coloured shirts?
Yeah.
And wear them with like almost like shark skin green suits. So I've always had a love affair. And I think, you know, so I used to wear these 20 years ago and I've come back to them again. I think there's something really lovely about it.
Yeah. There's nothing nicer. in a way, for me, you almost dress in a very kind of English gentlemanly kind of way. With your, you're very well known for your cravats, for example.
Yep.
And
yes.
I don't know if that's to hide a double chin or maybe a crepey neck, as in my case, which is why I wear scarves quite a lot, or whether it's just you like the kind of Savile Row style.
I started wearing when I was about 17, and I think that was back in the punk era. So you'd go out, all your shirts would be ripped, all your buttons would be ripped off your shirt in some unpleasant mosh pit. Yeah. So if you had something around your neck, it would keep you warm. And so I kind of like that idea of putting, you know, whether it's a properly cut cravat or whether it's just a strip of material around the neck. I think it's a nice way of adding a splash of color. I mean, it is ironic that, you know, probably the reason why I kind of people remembered who I was because of that strip of material.
Yeah.
So you know, so it's a weird thing to be known, been identified with that. But I suppose it's, you know, it's a bit like that whole generation of American TV detectives, you know, Peter Falk's Columbo with a dirty raincoat, and
exactly.
You know, they all have a certain thing. So having a fashion thing. I mean, I'm making a new TV show at the moment. We started to play with that a little bit, you know, in terms of more kind of Western wear or boleros or bootlace ties or just neckerchiefs tied at the side, which is quite shocking. And people do, I think, going back to your point, the crepey neck is undoubtedly why you have a beard. And this is something that...
Do you think men get it as much as women?
I shaved my beard off at summer and I've always been pretty kind of cool. And I, oh my God, I've got this bit here coming. I can't have that. You know, I've never thought about, you know, any plastic surgery. I was thinking, I rang my friend the plastic surgeon and said, what do you reckon? He said, yeah, love facelift. I thought, that's ridiculous. I'll grow the beard back. No one will see it anymore.
Well, maybe that's what I should do, is grow a beard. That's the answer, clearly.
It would be great. Or just a fake one, just a red one.
Yeah, a little fake one. Do you have, is there any kind of item of clothing or anything you possess, a piece of jewellery, which you would consider to be your comfort blanket? Oh, my God, he's organised.
I have it here.
So
I'll talk you through this.
Back
when I was living in London, I was born and brought up in Fulham. I went to a Nicole Farai warehouse sale, uh-huh. And I bought a long sheepskin leather jacket. And it became like, in The Hitchhiker's Guide, The Old Trouble with a Towel, that long sheepskin kind of sleeveless long waistcoat kind of jerkin became my, you know, that's what you took everywhere. If you got locked out, if you didn't make the last bus, you were sleeping in a bus shelter, you wrapped yourself in that sheepskin, it's great. You're
always going to be okay.
And that's now developed. I do still have it, but I'm a slightly different size to what I was 30 years ago. That's now changed. I mean, I love workwear. So Australia does some beautiful workwear, hard yakka. This is actually a Carhartt jacket. I've been wearing
Carhartt. Oh, I was going to say Carhartt. Oh. Isn't it fab?
Yeah, you can angle grind it. Stupidly expensive outside of America. We were filming in San Diego, and I made my two fellow judges drive an hour to a monstrous warehouse that only sold fake grass, and on the side had this amazing Carhartt store. So I just ran in there going, I want a couple of these and two of those.
You know, there's another really good label, Mac, which is quite similar to Carhartt, called A Day's March.
Okay.
Okay, so check it
out. I'll check it out.
And it's much cheaper. And it's fabulous.
But this in America was only $60 US.
Wow.
So I love that scarf. I'm also mean. So now this scarf, so I bought that there. This scarf is I traded this for a cravat when I was doing some live shows in India. And it's from Ladakh in northwest India. And it's sort of, I suppose it's like a rugged pashmina, but it's absolutely
stunning.
And I do. There are moments I feel a bit. If I'm feeling a bit, if I feel a bit too Pavarotti-like, I understand now. Pavarotti wears the long scarf. The hat was given to me by a band when we were in South Africa last year called Good Luck. Baseball hats tend to. I've got a gigantic head. Baseball hats don't look good on me, but this one seems to fit. And bizarrely, since I've been wearing the lucky hat, I've had lots of really kind of nice things happen. So thank you to Good Luck Live, the band who gave me that. So if you see me wandering around in the street, that's what I'll be wearing, probably with a pair of jeans and a pair of work boots.
Do we think
Might we consider, if we see you walking around the street and you're wearing that, might we consider that you woke up feeling a bit insecure and you needed a comfort blanket?
I wear it the whole time. That may well be a common other fact. I always need a comfort blanket.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, you know, it's functional. It's your handbag. It's got lots of pockets. You can put things in. If you go somewhere, you want to take it off and you need to throw it on the floor, it'll be fine there. You don't need, you know, it doesn't need to be looked after.
Yeah.
It's a self-sufficient jacket. I do. Having said that, I am mercilessly teased by a group of food writers that I have a lunching and dining club with. We travel to places and I wear them. They rib me mercilessly about the disgusting Carhartt.
Oh, well, it's good. I suppose it's because it's not your kind of TV image, is it? As much more.
Yeah, I think that's the weird thing about it. When you have a strong TV image, the scarf, the blazer, and you're absolutely right, that kind of that English tailoring, the English cut. Mm. So a couple of the jeans, the trousers are always cut kind of, they're more jean cuts, so they're much skinnier. But yeah. The idea of like two button, one show, or kind of waisted and shoulder pads is very, it's something that I've worked with my dear friend Pino, who's been my tailor for the last 7 years. Mm. He's classically Italian, and we've just kind of moved him to cut in that different way. And it's been fantastic. He does a beautiful job.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so have you and Pino anything that you've worn, not necessarily styled or made by him, that has led to a wardrobe malfunction?
My wardrobe malfunctions all tend to be when I was doing it all myself without any professional help from tailors or from stylists. And because we're really what the stylists have done is they've taken my natural look and they've just kind of they've polished it. But I did once think it was very funny. I bought a pair of bought a pale blue blazer and a slightly mismatching pale blue pair of suit pants that were about 4 inches too short and really baggy. And I wore those two together like a suit with white shoes. That was pretty disastrous.
That's pretty hideous, yeah.
And that was pretty terrible. I did find the picture the other day of me proudly displaying these white shoes. I have a mild obsession with white shoes, which I can talk for 7 or 8 hours on, but I won't. Okay. But the probably the worst one is I just got engaged to my lovely wife, and I went to New York. And I found this wonderful shop in Harlem. And I bought myself this beautiful kind of red, long zoot suit jacket, red jacket, matching red pants, and a banana yellow Nero suit. And I bought these both back. And they were please keep naked flames away. I came back. I'm excited. I open up the bag and look what I've got. This yellow red one. And the burst of tears ran upstairs. And she said, well, tell me now. That was the point when she seriously debated whether she was making the right decision. So obviously those clothes got very quickly retired. I wore the blue suit I had a Bucks night, but only with girlfriends. So all the girls had to dress as men, and I wore that suit. So I was allowed to wear it then. Then it got burned. But I was invited to this awards night in Sydney. And I thought, I'll take the red jacket. I won't wear it, but I'll take the red jacket. I'm staying with a friend of mine who's a fashion designer. She said, you should wear the black shirt, black jeans, and the red jacket. It looks really good. And I went, that's fine. My wife's not going to see it. It's okay. I won't win any awards. You know, nothing's going to happen. And then the worst possible thing happened at the end of the night. I won an award, and then all I could think of, oh my god,
the
red jacket is going to be seen by my wife. I'm going to red. So that was, and obviously I've had the usual, you know, the usual trousers fitting.
Yeah.
You know, all the standard yeah. stuff.
None of us are immune.
In a way, I mean, I still remember spitting my. I was very proud of a pair of cherry red needle cords I had when I was maybe 17, and I remember I bust the zip on them out at some club. So I got a shoelace and I basically laced up the front of the crotch, and it was like, well, that's good. That's different. Unusual.
Typical man. Yeah.
You would only do it if you planned to do it. There's no way you'd do that by accident. A normal human would just go home.
Yeah,
like, you know, across the crotch on the 22 bus. So yeah, I think a large number of people would suggest that I've made some terrible choices through the life of Master.
Oh god, I've been there so many times. But okay, so now what about your birthday suit? Is the one, not literally, but is the one item that you would be devastated if you lost?
Yes. Yeah. It would have, in the old days, it would have been that Nicole Fari like sheepskin jerkin. Yeah. But now it's this. We wanted with the show, it's very long, so I'll give you.
Oh, nice. With the velvet pocket and collar.
Nice thick velvet cuffs as well.
Gorgeous.
So we started with this idea that maybe as I dress rather English, I should dress like the Fat Controller from Thomas. And yeah. So the idea was to wear these kind of, these frock coats, which were very big in that 1880s period of Australia, 1870s period of Australia, the frock coat was very big. And then slowly the frock coat, we wore it as a blue frock coat. Then we put the collar on it. And then we kind of turned it into one of those 1950s Teddy Boy drape type model. And I love it. I love the way it hangs. It's got a pig's nipple waistcoat. It's a double-breasted waistcoat, and it just looks great. And I like that thing when you walk, and you know when you get a nice swooshy skirt,
yeah,
and you feel it swooshes behind you. This gives you that same kind of movement.
It hangs beautifully, I imagine.
So, this one's got this lovely, you know, that kind of. That stitching at the back, we've got that kind of like a yoke. So that probably is the.
What material is it made of? Is it of a light wool and silk?
Light wool and silk, and then heavy German velvet on the cuffs, the collar, and the pocket. So and I like that idea of kind of taking things and recycling them. We've all got time to go through our cupboards, and I found my wardrobe case from 2010, when we got very excited by Liberty. We bought in 60 bolts of Liberty fabric and made all these Liberty shirts out of them. And I found, I opened up this case, and there were all these different Liberty fabric shirts. So I like this idea of slow fashion, and I've lost some weight, so I can now fit back into them. And so I like that idea of bringing out the old white jeans I used to wear in season one and two. The white jeans, again, were cheap. They were $80, so what's that? £35-40. And they're polo jeans.
Okay.
So they're polo player jeans.
Yeah.
So the white jeans, nice and cheap.
So you've got the stretch in them.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of stretch. They are exactly the same jeans that Kerry Packer dyed in twice.
Oh, okay, nice. So it's a bit of a burial suit,
too. So I like that idea about kind of bringing that. I like that idea of slow fashion of bringing things back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and maybe that's the vanity of men, but we always keep what we're now. There's always stuff that you think, oh, I can't throw that away because maybe one day.
No,
maybe.
Isn't that interesting? Because my husband, Steen, he's exactly the same. He says... He dresses like he's not vain at all because all his clothes are ripped. We live in the countryside and most things, he wears them 10 days in a row. Disgusting.
Yeah. Mm.
But there is a real vanity there. So when he's on eBay trawling for clothes to buy under £10, which is like $1,
yes.
Ebenezer is his other name. He loves it. He loves clothes. And I it's so nice to hear you say that and to own your vanity and to you know, to be a man who so clearly is passionate about clothes. I really salute you for that. And I wish more men did it and admitted to it.
And look, I think it's that, I mean, obviously men tend to dress to fit in. And I just dress to entertain myself. And I've loved, over the last 3 years, there's been a whole, the wonderful, there's a classics teacher from, she used to live in Tweed Heads in northern New South Wales, who did a wonderful site called Master Dressed. And she took a screenshot of what I was wearing that night on the television and then related it to, I was wearing a pink suit, there was a My Little Pony. I was wearing pale blue, there was the Queen.
Is it still there? I've got to look at this.
I think it's still there. It's called Master Dressed, and it's very funny. I love that whole dialogue with people where they go, here comes Matt Preston looking like the man from Del Monte. Here comes Matt Preston looking like the drug baron. Here comes, you know, and I like that idea of finding back. See, I look like a musk stick, which is famous. You know, lolly here. They're kind of like a cigar, like a fake cigarette type thing. Yeah. So I enjoy that idea that some people play along and love it and they actually enjoy it. Some people have fun with it, which is also fun. You know, that blue jacket used to have. It had gold buttons on for a while, and it was I wore it in an awards ceremony. I was presenting something. It was, I think the line was, here comes Matt Preston presenting an award in exactly that outfit you have to wear when you're about to fight the Battle of Waterloo at 8:30. So okay. It's that. Nice. I love this kind of quirky humour that goes with it.
Yeah, and you create stories around your clothes, which is fun.
I think sometimes people get quite confronted or angry or ostracized by when people dress in, say, a non-conformist manner. But yeah. I think if you show people that you're having fun and you're enjoying it, you're not taking it too seriously, they're more than happy to come along for the ride.
Yeah. Well, I need to take a leaf out of your book a bit because I'm someone who I don't like standing out in my physical self. I like standing out by what I'm saying and you know, being the center of attention, but not in how I'm wearing. So I need to take a leap out of your book.
But I think that's also the other thing. You're obviously a fashion icon and I am distinctly not.
I don't agree with that, but anyway.
So for me, I see myself more as the kid who's found the key to the dress up cupboard. And it's a very big dress up cupboard and then you normally have someone terrible. There was a wonderful one called Charmaine de Pasqualia, apparently, and the new stylist. And they're both. It's like, what about? And they go, I've seen this tartan fabric. How about a red Stuart tartan suit, double breasted with gold buttons? And you go, and you either go, that's disgusting, or you go, genius. Yes. I'll wear it once, and that'll be it. I'll throw it away. It'll be great. I'll keep it. Then I mean, they'll sit in the cupboard with all the other hundreds of suits that I will wear one day and never do.
Yeah. Oh, well, Matt, listen, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure.
Keep doing great work. And I really am very chuffed to talk to you. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. I've loved talking to you. And I don't get to talk about fashion enough. And I absolutely love doing it.
Good. I'm so pleased. All right, my love. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.